Attention! Case number 53 from the Book of Serenity. Huang Bo's Drag Slurpers. Huang Bo said to the assembly, "You people are all just slurpers of dregs. If you travel like that, where will you find today? Do you know, in all of China, there are no teachers of Chan?" At this, a monk came forward and said, "What about those people who guide followers and lead groups in various places?" Huang Bo said, "I do not say there is no Chan, just that there are no teachers." Welcome, everybody. It's really great to have you all here this morning. Right as the Heart Sutra was coming round and Soshin bowed and opened up the Dharma talk, it was right at "all dharmas are forms of emptiness." You know, I want to share with you real quick a text I got from my mother. It's not a text, actually. It's a transcription of a voicemail that my mother left on Google Voice, which I never use. And it sent me a text. So the Google algorithm had to reinterpret her Irish accent. "Hey, Tim, I guess I'm just making it to Michelle Westmall. I know you're not dead, which are in Superior again. I guess I'm just thinking of you. All day tomorrow. We should be there for, you know. Look for Speak On. You know so anyway. Nothing dead. Have a great day. Well, and you feel good talk. To you later. Bye." I thought that was apropos. We've just had this very long week where we've been writing, we've been reading, looking at the rich literature of Zen. We've been reading out loud. We've been engaged with words, lots of words. Taylor said on Wednesday, "Da, da, 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 da." And in the jewel mirror, Dongshan says, "Baba Wawa, is anything said or not?" And people have been asking me, and I've been asking myself, "Have you written your Dharma talk yet?" "Have you written your talk?" No. As you can see, I'm not reading it. It's a tricky, tricky koan, this. The slurpers of dregs. Who are the slurpers of dregs? What are the dregs? Well, I'm certainly a slurper. He almost says that like he's reviling his own disciples. I was reminded of Daniel Day-Lewis in There Will Be Blood. "People, I hate people." But he's trying to get something across to them. This koan is translated differently in the Blue Cliff record. It's called Huang Po's "Gobblers of Dregs." And that image is almost like people running around stuffing themselves. Oh, gluttony. You know, this kind of spiritual gluttony, looking for some answers. "I need this, I need that. Oh yes, chicken soup of the soul." Just getting it in there. And at the time, in the Tang Dynasty, It was a thing to do, you know, to travel around China, going from one guru to the next. And he's referring to his disciples who, where they see a large crowd and somebody on a cushion talking, they go, "Ooh, let's go and see what he's got to say. Maybe I can get something. Maybe I can use it. Maybe it'll give me the answer, the truth. And then I'll hit that sweet spot and it'll be plain sailing." Well, you know, there's a story about this Huang Po, and it's in the Blue Cliff Record, actually. He was a friend of the Prime Minister at the time, and he had given him some informal sermons. And they were collected, apparently, by somebody else, not by Huang Po. But the Prime Minister, Pei, his name was, he decided, "I've got it. I'm going to write a book on my understanding of Huang Po's teachings." And so the next time Huang Po came to visit him, he said, "Master, here's a book of all my understanding." And Huang Po took the book, looked at it, put it to one side, and put it down, and said, "Do you understand?" And Pei said, "No. No, I don't understand." And he said, "If you'd understood..." What did he say exactly? I did write it down, believe it or not. He said, "If you're still trying to describe it with paper and ink, where would there be room for my school?" And yet, we have this rich literature. We have all these koans. We have all these Dharma talks. There's another story about this koan. And it's about this lord, I think his name is Hangji, I wrote it down somewhere. But the words. And he was reading a book. And outside his window was a wheelwright, Lun Pian. And he was planing his wheel. And he saw the lord reading the book. And he went up and knocked on the window and said, "Lord, do you mind me asking what you're reading?" And the lord said, "I'm reading a book of the sages." And Lun Pian said, "Are they dead sages?" He said, "They are the ancient sages. Yes, they are dead." He said, "Well, then you're just slurping dregs." And the lord said, "How dare you impugn royalty? If you don't explain yourself, you die." And Lun Pian said, "Well, you see, it's kind of like this. When I'm planing a wheel, if I go too fast, it doesn't take. If I go too slowly, it's just not firm enough. I have to go neither slowly nor fast. And then my hands are in accord with my mind. Now I can teach my sons how to do this, but I can't teach them the art. So your ancients, their wisdom died with them. And you're just reading the dregs." But we have to be careful. Dregs can be pejorative, right? And what are the dregs? I mean, the images that come to mind are like the stale beer in the bottom of a barrel, you know, that vinegary smell, that ugh, the dregs. But we need our dregs. We're carrying around our dregs with us all the time. And without them, we wouldn't know the flavor of the beer when we taste it. It gives us a hint. It gives us an essence. And when the time comes, when that nice fresh pint of Guinness is plonked in front of you, you can go, "Oh, yes, now I see. Now I understand the taste." It's so easy to give in to nihilism. Another phrase that I was reminded of is Macbeth. Macbeth has murdered Duncan. And he comes out of the room and he says, "The wine of life is drawn, and the mere lees are left this vault to brag of." And that assumes that Macbeth knew what the wine tasted like first. But that's really bleak. It's really, really bleak. But we don't have those lees. I think this poem cautions us about that spiritual gluttony. You just need to go into Barnes & Noble, there's a whole wall of stuff, Chicken Soup of the Soul, Notes from the Universe, you know. One of my favorite titles is Shut Up, Stop Whining, and Get a Life. The kick butt way to a better life. But the art that the wheelwright is referring to, that can't be taught and that can't be learned. The Buddha, when he was dying and his followers were bereft, they were beside themselves. What do we do without our master? What do we do without this great teacher? And he said, "Be a lamp unto yourself." Dogen says, "Turn the lamp inward." So what this cone is pointing at is that this practice of ours, it's an inside job, you know? You're alone. In one sense, only you can do the digging. But the Sangha, together, we're all doing the digging together. And that's how we support each other. I was just struck that, you know, so much can be lost. It just takes one generation to lose important wisdom. Like T.S. Eliot says in his poem, it's not really very good poem actually, but it's a startling line. He says, "What is the life we have lost with living? What is the wisdom we have lost in knowledge? What is the knowledge we have lost in information?" And I was reminded of how in Western culture, you know, I went to art school briefly and I studied art history, and one of the things that fascinated me was the Pantheon in Rome. And the Pantheon still is, it still exists. It's this incredible edifice with a domed roof that has this eye cut in the center that lets in the sunlight. And it had an altar to every god known and one to the unknown god. And then Rome fell. It was a couple of invasions. The engineers and the architects that knew how to do this stuff were gone. Their books were destroyed. And that was the end of that. But the Pantheon was still there. It haunted Europe for 1,000 years, this building. Those who saw it scratched their heads. They hadn't a clue how it was built. And then, sometime in the early Renaissance, a genius by the name of Brunelleschi built a great dome in Florence. But it wasn't the same way. He was trying to figure out how the Romans did it. And it wasn't until the late 18th century, when it was rediscovered, concrete. And look what we got. So essentially, this cone is really pointing to the work that you have to do. Don't go looking outside all the time for this, that, and the other. I remember when I first came to this practice, I went into interview with Rio, and I said, "What should I read? What should I read?" I said, "Oh, anything you want, really." I was like, "No, but it has to be the book, a book. There's, you know, in How to Do Zen." I actually had a book, I still have it, called Teach Yourself Zen. But you must teach yourself Zen, because only you can do that. There's a verse about this koan, and I've asked Kaiku to read it.